guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And we're going to talk about buccal fat and nose gaps today on the podcast. These are some trending topics. I know you guys have seen buccal fat removal going on all your favorite celebrities and maybe even nose gap surgery. So, beauty trends that we need to unpack. And let me tell you my take on these things, because everyone is jumping on the bandwagon of buccal fat good, but I don't necessarily believe in that. I think it's right for the right person, but it can really change the aging face in the future. And there's always unrealistic beauty standards that women are faced with and expected to live up to, whether it's broad hips, thin waists, large butts, you know, big lips. There's always something that society is picking at to make us feel inadequate and insecure, that we need to have slimmed cheeks because we can't have rounded cheeks, that we need to take out every inch of fat from our face to look like all of us Bella Hadid. We begin to nitpick what we don't like about ourselves, what we wish we could change, and we're hard on ourselves. It's hard enough when you look in the mirror every day to not be your own worst critic. But when society starts telling you that you need to get buccal fat and it's trending and you've got to get slim and contoured and you can't have rounded cheeks, that's the last thing we need to do to curse our younger women and younger daughters with this idea that they must have contoured, tapered, fat-reduced faces. With social media and the internet inundating us with all these images and ideas, it's hard to not get caught up in harmful body image and dysmorphic criticisms of our own features. Beauty trends like buccal fat removal and nose gaps. You guys have seen this recently on Lea Michele and Chrissy Teigen. These are adding even more unattainable expectations to women's ideology of beauty. Let's talk about it. First of all, what is buccal fat? Buccal fat is the padding around the face cheek area between your cheekbones and your jaw. The amount of buccal fat that you have is genetically determined, and most people associate it with having a rounder, fuller cheek or a baby face. If you suck in your cheeks like you're making a kissy face, like a mwah, everybody try that, suck in those cheeks, that's right, you are sucking in on your buccal fat. If you bite your cheeks inward like models do in a picture, the fat that would be in the middle of that little bite in between your teeth would be your buccal fat. The fat pad that hangs below that and gives fullness around the mouth and droops a little below the jawline, that's your jowl fat. So there are a couple different fat pads in the face. So if you want to kind of estimate how your buccal fat looks or how much buccal fat you have, suck in those cheeks and you'll be pulling in on your buccal fat pad. The inside lining of the mouth is the buccal mucosa. Some people say buccal, it's pronounced buccal. And that buccal mucosa has salivary glands. There's a duct that drains your parotid salivary gland into the mouth. There's some important structures running through that fat. Surgery for buccal fat pad removal is often performed through the mouth intraorally because there's no scar. You can go in quite simply under local anesthesia, even in the office setting, and grasp. You can open the lining of the mouth just like you're having a dental or mouth oral surgery. You can grasp that fat pad, tease it away, cauterize, clamp, and remove a fat pad. Sometimes when I do these surgeries in the office, I'm taking out a lump that's almost the size of a chicken nugget. You'd be surprised how much fat can hide in the buccal compartments. And I think that this is sometimes a very useful procedure for people who have overgrowth of the buccal fat and for people who've lost weight everywhere and appear quite slender but have a weighted fullness or disproportionate amount of cheek relative to forehead and jaw. The rounder face is considered in general to be youthful. And some people might feel like their face is too full and that they look babyish even into their 30s and 40s. So I do understand when people want to slim and taper their face or they're tired of having a full baby face. But it's so normal in your 20s and 30s to have a rounded full cheek. Our facial fat is juicy and healthy and has great quality. As we age, the fat is going to thin. atrophy and deflate. The fat cells and fat globules, which are normally quite full and, you know, enhanced with turgor and liquid that plumps them up. As you age, they thin, they deflate, they become dehydrated, they definitely atrophy. So all of these changes are coming for your face. In your 20s, you have the rounded face. In your 30s, you start to slim and taper. Many people say at age 37, 38 is the time when a woman's face is its most attractive because it's lost the baby fat, but it retains the cheekbones and the essential character of the face. And then in the 40s and 50s, too much fat atrophy, thinning and deflation and loss of the water pressure, turgor of the fat cells leads to deflation, drooping, and jowling. So there's this natural progression. And that conventional standard of beauty of having a model profile with high cheekbones, snatched jawline, buccal fat enhances that, the buccal fat removal, when you're trying to accentuate a very sunken midface. So you want the cheekbones to pop, you deflate a little more fat from the buccal space, and you get a very gaunt, model-esque, and high cheekbone look. Buccal fat removal is about a half hour long procedure. We're cutting a small incision on both sides of the mouth internally, removing this little chicken nugget sized fat pad. Sometimes it's smaller, like a grape. Ideally, like people who really have overgrowth have hypertrophy of fat and it's more like a chicken nugget. And then the incisions are then stitched up with an absorbable suture. Maybe takes about 7 to 10 days for full healing. The suture dissolves in a week. The swelling of the mouth and cheeks can take up to 3 weeks to really get better and about 6 to 8 weeks to be fully gone. Patients do have permanent results from this procedure, and the cost depends on the surgeon, ranging from $7,000 all the way up to $20,000. The ideal candidate for buccal fat should have medium thickness of their skin. We don't want to have super thick, coarse, padded skin that has large pores and thick density. You kind of want medium thickness skin so you can see these changes take place underground. You should have a short ramus of the mandible and a full buccal space. And there is risk, of course, anytime we're operating, there's risk, but including damaging nearby facial structures like salivary glands, the parotid duct, facial nerve branches, the blood vessels and arteries and veins of this area, the lymphatics of this area. So anytime we're taking out fat and opening the wound there, you can disrupt lymphatic drainage. So sometimes the healing can take longer, just like your lymphatics get obstructed when you get your wisdom teeth out or any kind of major intervention. Swelling of the face takes a while to come down. And it's a purely cosmetic procedure. There is no medical benefit here. Why is it trending? Why is buccal fat removal trending? It's not a new procedure. We've been doing this for 50 years, maybe 100. It's not new. It's been around a long time, but it's trending thanks to celebrities like Chrissy Teigen, who has had a rounded and full face, and thanks to TikTok, thanks to people's images popping up where you're wondering, what did they do to their face, like Lea Michele recently? And this generation is obsessed with better looking angles and selfies that really pop and looking snatched. That hashtag buccal fat removal already has over 1.1 million views on TikTok. We've noticed a big uptick in requests for surgical procedures. I think this is just one of those things that it's in the news. People are curious. Everyone wants to look svelte, contoured, and cheekbony, model-like. But only 1 in 10 patients meet the ideal requirements to get the procedure done. We want people to do this when they have fat overgrowth. When you remove too much fat from the midface, the other major concern is that you're going to have poor aging process. Sure, it's going to look good for the 5 years of you being in your 20s to 30s to 35. What happens when you start to have facial fat changes? You are going to look gaunt and withdrawn and skeletal in the midface. You are not going to be easily able to replace facial fat that's removed from the buccal space. It can't really be replaced with filler. It cannot really be triggered to grow with collagen stimulators like Sculptra. It's a zone where you can't even do fat transfer. It will be patchy, irregular, and weird looking. So removing that fat requires a lot of consideration and looking at how your face is predicted to age, maybe looking at your mom and your grandmom and seeing how their faces are aging. Some of us who get a lot of cheek lines, loss of skin elasticity and crepping with cheek wrinkles, this is not a great procedure for you if you have family that has that in their history, because you're going to have sagging and drooping that's accentuated by loss of fat. You actually want to retain volume and fat in those areas. Facelift is not necessarily going to solve that problem either, because it'll skin tighten, but it won't replace youthful volumes, submalar fat, the rounding of the cheek, the apple of the cheek that looks youthful. These are all things you have to consider. And if you jump on every trend and every bandwagon of hashtag TikTok popular cosmetic procedures, not only are you going to have to deal with a lot more problems in the future, but you're going to have some regrets. And loss of important facial fat is one of the biggest things I counsel patients to really think carefully about. The other thing that's been trending lately is the nose gap. Besides the buccal fat, another spotlighted trend is the nose gap, also called a lip lift surgery. The area between your nose and your lips, the two lines that run there are called the philtrum, and the nose gap is that distance between your nose and lips. And there's a stupid expression that some chauvinistic males came up with, and this says that women start to look long in the tooth when they get older. And that's how they used to judge older horses. When they have a long distance from the nose to the lip kind of uncurls, and they look like older mares or older horses. So when they say that a woman's long in the tooth, that's a horrible way of saying they have elongation of the nose gap, the distance from the nose to the lip. And we sometimes will treat that. So in the past, we can see there was a trend to use lip filler to enhance the size and volume of the upper lip. That, of course, got overdone, and many people ended up with filler migration and too big of a top lip and lips that were unbalanced. I do beautiful work with lip fillers. I definitely can recreate a lifted and shortened upper lip by building the philtrum of the lip with lip fillers. It is possible, but it has to be conservative. And when you reach a distance of greater than 13 millimeters from the tip of the nose to the tip of the lip, we definitely need to start thinking about perhaps shortening that distance, because no amount of filler will do that. Everything lengthens and stretches with time, whether it's the nose, the ears. The loss of elasticity happens to our skin, just like last year's bathing suit loses its stretch. So that elongation and stretch of the top lip can be remedied with surgery to trim the upper lip, lip lift. That's trimmed right under the nose, kind of like a butterfly-shaped little incision that follows the curve of the nostrils. It's been very popular. A lot of people in Beverly Hills and Hollywood are doing lip lift surgery, and it's been also around for a long time. You can sometimes get early results with the lip flip with Botox, lip filler to build your philtrum to evert and help that lip roll up and out, and it looks pouty and younger. And then sometimes you need surgery to shorten your nose gap to do a little lip lift. So that's another procedure that's truly been trending. And I think that that is a good one. If performed well, the surgery heals with limited scars that are hidden at the junction of the nose and the lip. If performed poorly, you can have a widened, ugly scar and an upturned appearance of your nose. And it can be quite a bit of healing process where your nose does look upturned and foreshortened. And we've seen some funky results from other people's work in my office. And I'm just glad that people have a chance to wear a mask while it's healing. It's not such an easy procedure to heal from, but patients are uniformly pretty happy if they get a good result with a good surgeon doing a lip lift to close that nasal gap. In general, it's no surprise that these trends are sparking controversy between users on social media and all the different platforms out there. People are calling others out for triggering unnecessary insecurities, negative body image, and just another thing to talk about, another thing to critique women and our bodies for. Beauty reporter Jessica DeFino states that there are four main forces that combine to create this beauty industry: patriarchy,
white supremacy, colonialism, capitalism, and she argues that any beauty standard, skincare standards included, can be traced back to one of these four. And in summary, companies are feeding off of our insecurities by selling us a physical product solution. Just keep in mind, someone profits every time that you buy one of these, whether it's the surgeon, the surgery center. You know, the patient also gets to enjoy the results that give them the ideal avatar of the face that they want. But I definitely want people to come to me after they've thought about what they truly want. If they've noticed a disproportion in their features, or they've noticed something for many, many years that bothers them, not something that's an overnight issue that came up in a bunch of videos they watched that came to their algorithm and feed. Keep in mind that trends will fade, but what looks good now may not look good later in life at a different age. And that, my friends, is the real truth. So, making it my mission this year to give you more of my opinion of what beauty standards we need to unpack for you and teach you when these procedures are right and good and when these procedures may not be the exact right thing for people to jump on the bandwagon for. That's it for now, guys. Hope you got a lot out of that. Send me all your questions. You can always send me a DM on Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K. Our Instagram is Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, where we're doing amazing things with people's faces. And the website is the same. You can always send me a question or request there. Book a virtual consult. Come in and see us. We love you. We want you to stay beautiful, healthy, confident, not feel insecure every time these images come up on the gram. And so important to unpack your reasons for doing things and think carefully about your amazing face. Love you guys. Stay beautiful.